Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
To WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz joining us every Tuesday at 4 o'clock. Jordan Mailata. Jordan's call brought to you by Colonial Hyundai. Shop online 24/7, colonialhyundai.com. Colonial Hyundai, the faster, easier, better way to buy a Hyundai. Jordan, thanks for joining us today.
Hey, guys. How you guys doing?
What's up, big man? How you feeling?
A little tender.
So, yeah, listen. I don't know what the exact extent of your injury is.
Right.
I'm going to ask you to disclose it, but are you looking at a long time being away, or you're trying to get back here as soon as possible?
Man, you know I'm always going to want to come back as fast as I can and as soon as possible.
Mm-hmm.
What I can say is, you know, it's a hammy injury and going to miss a couple games, and yeah. It's really my first hamstring injury. I don't really know. I'm just trusting, you know, the team right now and whatever the direction that we go forward with.
Well, let me just say this. It speaks to your athleticism. I mean, big men don't usually get hamstring injuries, man. I'm just saying. For you to have a hamstring injury, that shows how athletic you are.
Mate, you saw me moving on that block field goal. You saw me moving now, 18.3 miles per hour. I was moving.
Well, you know, one more question to that. So I have, you know, I had hip surgery a year ago, and when I'm trying to get around the house, you know, I'm 150 pounds. My wife can help me. You are a big person, man. So who is helping you around the house when you're having trouble walking?
The walking's gotten a lot better.
Okay.
Let me say that.
Okay.
Yeah. So, but my wife is helping me with my pacing.
Okay.
I'm taking too big of a step, you know, taking my time, getting around.
I was going to say, yeah, she got to be strong, man. She got to lift some weights.
She's strong, man.
Yeah.
She's strong.
So, well, good luck. And, you know, the team is not the same without you out there. So we're wishing you the best.
Speedy recovery,
brother.
Speedy
recovery.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
So, I don't know if you've heard, but there has been a lot of conversation around your head coach over the last couple of days. Could you give some context from your perspective on Nick? Also, I guess, sort of the stuff that went on publicly on Sunday.
That's Nick. You know, we asked Nick to be himself. You know, whatever that looked like. And yeah, that stuff on Sunday, that's just him. But I love his passion. I love his fire. We get motivated by that. We just wanted him to be himself because he preaches to us to be ourselves. And, you know, we just wanted it to be a two-way street. And so, you know, that's what that was. You know, he's always going to be like, he's always been like that. He's like that at training. He's like that in the meetings. Like, he's animated. He's an animated coach. And, you know, I saw he apologized for his actions, and, you know, it's not a good look. When he came out and said it, but, you know, we're comfortable and we know that's just him.
The irony about the criticism of Nick is that he is probably more like Philadelphia fans than any coach that has ever coached here. So I think sometimes we see ourselves in him, you know?
Yeah. Man, he means well. That's the thing. He means well. And like you just said, I think he's more Philadelphian than people expect him to be. He's just embraced. He's embraced the city. He's embraced the fan base. I love the guy, man. So I know it's I know, you know, some fans and some, you know, some of the guys in the media don't like it, but man, that's just him, and you know, we got his back.
Let me ask you this: when I heard Brandon talk about kind of reiterating that to Coach Sirianni about just be yourself, you know, want you to be the 2022 Nick Sirianni, the coach that he was then. Jalen mentioned that in this press conference, and you just mentioned that. I wonder, do you think he Was it noticeable that he hadn't been sort of himself? Like, you had, I mean, you've been with him since he got here as a coach. Did it seem like that was the case prior to, I guess, the bye week and coming going into the bye week? Did it feel like he hadn't really been himself on the sidelines or, I guess, behind the scenes with you guys?
Yeah, I would say that. I think that's a fair assessment on my bit, you know, through my lens.
Okay.
He hadn't been himself. You know, the juice wasn't the, you know, just it, he was bringing juice, but it just, you know, didn't feel the same. And so that's why we had that conversation. Mm-hmm. You know, we need him to just be him, just be free. Now, you know, we can't control how Nick does it.
Right. But, you know, right.
That's up to him. But again, we understand whatever he does, that's him. That's him being him. And we love that.
Jordan, from a on to football, the offense has had trouble getting off to good starts. You know, we've been very public that you guys haven't scored in the first quarter. And then even when it does get going, I guess the best way to describe it is it doesn't seem like when we're watching there is a consistent rhythm to you guys moving the ball. So is there something that you think is causing both of those things? A, the slow starts, and then B, that rhythm that I'm talking about.
I mean, the slow starts, every game is different. Every situation is different. And, you know, we look back at the slow start from the last game. You know, we snap the ball, Cam snaps the ball above Jalen's head, you know, and that's just something that we can control. Now, it's all about, are we controlling the things we can control and executing? And, you know, I've come on here and I've said, you know, I might sound like a broken record player, but it's the truth. You know, the execution is key to the starts, and we just aren't executing on the first drive. And, you know, that's why we see first, second, and third drives, they're not, you know, we're not moving the ball efficiently, and then we get going. Now, this game was a little different from a Cleveland defensive perspective, because we knew that they knew they also have Deuce Staley, Coach Roy Eastervan, who had been with us since 2019. He was our assistant offensive line coach, and they knew how to stop the run game, to stop pass protections, out calls, and so we're kind of going in there trying to figure out what they knew the first couple drives. And I think that kind of helped us, you know, start, you know, building, you know, efficient drives together later in the game.
Mm-hmm. Well, these guys certainly started moving the ball there. And the thing, I guess, that I noticed and was somewhat impressed with was that even though you weren't having that success on those early drives, it didn't seem like it took you guys out of what you wanted to do in the game. You stuck with the run, and if it meant you were getting 3 yards here, 4 yards there, you didn't abandon the run. You stuck with it. So I think that says something when you got an idea of what you want to do going into a game. And even though it may not be successful early, you know, believing in that and sticking with it, I think it started opening the offense up for you to move the ball right before the half, that second quarter, and a little bit in that third quarter.
Yeah, I agree. We look back at the game, we did some great things. We did some great things, and Kellen did a great job at play calling and, you know, again, like you said, sticking with the runs, whether it be a 3 yard gain, 2 yard gain, 4 yard gain. We stuck with it, and, you know, that helped open up the passing game. And yeah, again, these are just things, building blocks that we can build off of this win. Just look back at all the good stuff that we did. Because we did a ton of good things, man, from an offensive perspective. So, and Jalen played a heck of a game, and you know, he did some amazing checks at the line. You know, during the game in different situations, and he really took control of the game.
Jordan Mailata with us, who's with us every Tuesday at 4. Jordan, so Fred Johnson first fills in for Lane when Lane goes out, and now he's going to play for you. Can you explain how difficult it is to be able to play both tackle spots within the same season and how different playing left versus right tackle is?
I'll tell you what, it's super hard playing both, being a swing tackle. I think just from a body mechanic perspective, it's really hard. You know, just I've used that analogy of, you know, it's like wiping your behind with your non-dominant hand.
I'm really good at that, actually. Yeah.
Right? I don't believe that. I don't believe that one bit. but the beauty about Fred filling in at left tackle is he is a left tackle by nature. He prefers the left side.
Okay.
But he's such a great teammate that, you know, he understands his role. His role is that backup swing tackle, so he will gladly fill in at right tackle because he wants to play. He wants to play football, and I'm excited for Fred to get this opportunity to showcase, you know, that he is a dominant tackle in this league. Mm-hmm. So Fred's going to be just fine at left tackle. He is a left tackle by nature, and I'm excited for him.
One final one for me, Jordan. As a player yourself, and I guess I would have to ask you to speak for your teammates as best you could in this situation. How do you block out all the stuff that's on the outside and sort of try to focus on that singular goal of you get better each week, you try to stack wins, but you got to sort of remain in that one week at a time. It's difficult to look ahead and worry about what's down the road. How do you guys sort of stay locked in and focused on that? You just won a game. You want to build off of that going into next week. How do you not allow the outside noise to become a distraction for you all?
Well, one, we understand the goal, and two, we continue to be present.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, 3-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
And what that is, it's just being in the moment. When you're in the building, be in the building. If you're in a meeting, be in the meeting. Understand the game plan for that week. And I think we truly came back from that bye week and we understood, you know, that's what the goal is. Be hungry, be humble is what coach keeps saying. And so the whole be hungry, be humble, you also have to be present. You know, you don't just be a body in the room. And you know, I think all the guys understood that coming into last week's game. And, you know, that's something that we're building off now. So that's just how we block out the noise, man. You got to realize that everyone's entitled to an opinion. But would you take advice off that person? Are they in this room right now with you? Are they experiencing what you're experiencing? Have they gone through the trials and tribulations that you've gone through to play the sport or to play the next snap? And so, you know, my advice to the guys is just be present.
Mm-hmm. Well, Jordan,
just be present.
Well, Jordan, we hope you get better soon, and mm-hmm. good luck with that whole wiping thing. Sounds like you're having problems there.
I ain't wiping with my non-dominant hand no more, boys.
Yeah. If you need a YouTube video instructions, you just let us know.
Oh,
we'll hook
my
you
God.
Up. All right, Jordan. Thank you, man.
Appreciate it, brother.
There he is, Jordan Mailata. But it was actually right before the interview. I'm like, and who the hell is helping him? He's 8 feet tall, 350 pounds. You
hey,
know?
Man, that's where the wife comes in, hey, man. That's unconditional love.
Dude, so the night I had hip replacement surgery, mm-hmm. so they send you home same day.
Oh, and wow, really?
Same day. So I had hip surgery in the morning, but I was having this problem. But they do a nerve thing in your spine where you can't feel underneath your waist for a while. And it slowly comes back, but they won't let you leave the hospital until you pee. Because I guess something can go wrong or
sure.
whatever. So I was nauseous and we were there an extra 7 hours or something because I wouldn't pee. So we finally get home and I am miserable. I'm refusing to take the pain medicine because I didn't want to take, I didn't want to take narcotics or anything.
Right.
So I'm laying on the couch yelling.
Oh my God.
She looks at me and she's like, take the medicine.
Yeah, I'm shoving it down your mouth now, yes.
She wasn't going to help me into the other room. She wasn't going to help me upstairs. She'd take the Oxycontin and shut up. To be clear, I am not a fun person. I was the least fun I had ever been that night. It was the,
sure, man, hip surgery. Oh, I can imagine it's no fun.
It was terrible. I'm thrown up in a bag in the quiet room at the hospital. It was horrible. So, all right. So the newspaper.
And I know you're like a... You seem like you're, when you're sick.
Oh, I'm the worst.
Yes, you seem like one of those
guys.
You
let everyone know.
Yes, you're dying over there.
Dude, I had the flu for the first time about 5 years ago. And the real flu.
Well, yeah. I think you were patient zero of the old pandemic.
No, this was before the pandemic.
I don't know, man. Had something. You were out for like a week.
They tested me, man. They gave me the flu test.
Well, this is before we even knew what COVID was.
It wasn't COVID.
You were patient zero.
Anyway, it might have been patient zero. I did spend about 2 weeks in China previous to this, so it might have been. So I get the flu. I'm shivering. I have the sweats, that kind of stuff. I'm laying on the bed with a jacket on, but also sweating.
It's all sweating, yep.
And I look at her, and I said, I think I might die. And she said, you're not going to die. And I said, Val, I've never felt like this. I think I'm going to die. She said, what do you want me to do? I said, please take me to the hospital. So we go to the ER, and the doctor's like, you have the flu.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, take two of these.
Yeah, he said, I'm going to give you this medicine. We're only supposed to give it to people who are, there's not enough, I guess, of the flu medicine to give it to people who aren't really old or really young or something. But I was such an extraordinary baby. He gave me the medicine just to shut me up.
Of course he did.
Of course.
Yeah. So, you know, the newspaper reporter has been number one in Eagles Insider of the Year power rankings for weeks now. Against our, we had one week of Elliott, one sympathy vote.
Yes. But that didn't count.
He continues to press on. So this is from the Odyssey podcast. What's it called?
Uncovering the Birds.
Uncovering the Birds. Here is the newspaper reporter with yet another scoop.
For as loud as the critical voices were outside the Eagles, I found a similar sentiment within the organization. Embarrassing is how two team officials labeled it to me when asked specifically for their reactions to Sirianni's behavior. The two sources each voiced their support of the head coach and said they understood how toxic fans can be at times.
There you go.
Wow.
Embarrassing, but also that we're toxic.
So. Yeah, right?
I've news for you.
That last part there, was that necessary?
Yeah, I tell you, if you scored 40 points, it wouldn't have been so toxic. It would be very easy to make us not toxic anymore.
Well, to two people saying that it's embarrassing, I'm pretty sure people felt that was embarrassing.
Yes, yeah.
Including the boss in his suite.
Yes.
Watching that.
We don't know who the two people were, but I can't imagine anybody in the building wasn't like. So, but those are points in newspaper reporters' news favor.
Yeah, I'm with you there.
T in Overbrook, you're on WIP. What's up, T?
Hi. I'm calling about the topic at hand about Nick Sirianni.
Yes.
And Nick Sirianni doesn't have to win me over because I'm not mad at him. Huh. I feel like we blow things out of proportion. We still don't know what he said, right? Do we know what was said on the sideline?
We got one report.
Honestly. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I don't even know if everybody believes the fan who said that's who he was talking to.
So one fan said on Reddit, and then that fan came on the air here, said that he was yelling at Nick to run the ball, and then Nick assured him, wait. And then at the end of the game, he came over and he said, see, I told you so. Nick's body language sort of...
looked like it might have been different.
Yeah, if that's what he said it in a certain kind of way, but we don't know for sure what Nick said.
Yeah.
Right, and we're looking for a reason not to believe that caller, right? And we're also, it was someone else that called in on, you guys' show, and he said, I was there. They were pretty harsh.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, I can understand maybe that, he just... maybe made a mistake. But this started from last season. The fan base lost respect for Nick. And he didn't start off with a clean slate this season. So every little thing he does, everyone blows up. But from this particular situation, there have been so many players that have, spoken about having his back.
Yeah.
Like we, and Spike, I heard you do it just now. Oh, you know, they said he's not. That doesn't mean he's a good coach. But I think they have said that he's a good coach. Brandon Graham, Darius Slay on, you know, Michael Parsons' podcast. just so many different players. Even Jalen. And, you know, he wasn't speaking.
No, he ain't going to say nothing. Exactly.
Well, I think Jalen might be happy.
Yeah, right. Well, and that's another part. I feel like they may be able, they feel for him because they have been under the same scrutiny. And I'm not saying it's right, and nor do I think that this is something that should be normalized. But we're talking about this. We're not talking about Cooper DeJean. We're not talking about Soul Batman coming back. We're not talking about the Slim Reaper. We're not
classic WIP.
And what if they're listening? You remember the controversy with AJ where he's like, you know, the
we remember.
Yeah,
I don't
remember too. I was so hyped when he called in. So, you know,
a couple.
Jack
things
is
here.
Still recovering from that phone call. Yeah,
no ovations and no AJ Brown trade.
I think you make a lot of good points, but two things I'll say to what you said. The first thing is I can put myself in his situation as well and understand why he did it. But just like when Brian Colangelo's wife was defending her husband on Twitter with burner accounts, I could understand that too. Still not the right thing to do. So whether he, and it, by the way, not just with the not just the thing with the fan, but the press conference afterwards was a very, very strange press conference. But I understand how he feels. I understand the situation he's in. I understand why he might want to act that way. But he, as the leader and representative of the team, has to be better about that. But but to your point about we're not talking about all these good things that happened, that's his fault. You know, that is on him for creating that, for creating a situation where this is what we're talking about and not talking about A.J. Brown's great game, which we talked about some yesterday. But unfortunately, the big story coming out of this was him, and that's on him. And then the last thing I would say is it is absolutely meaningful that the coaches say they have his back and they think he's a good coach. But
you mean the players?
The players.
Yeah.
But it doesn't mean that he is. So it counts. It's part of it. But just like he would get credit as Super Bowl head coach when they went to the Super Bowl, he gets blame when they collapse and they don't play well. So, but overall, I agree that people are looking for reasons. I don't think that's Nick's fault. I think that's the organization's fault overall. I agree with you in that. But I also, I hesitate to say just because the players have his back means that he's a good coach. You know, a lot of the players had Doc Rivers back, and I think he's a horrible coach. So it you know, he will be judged on his job performance, not what they say, though I think what they say is meaningful.
Can I make one more point?
Yes.
I think Rios would appreciate his shaven head.
Yes. I agree with you on that one, mm-hmm. T. I agree with you on that one. Thank you for the call. So coming up next, you know, we've done a lot of talking about being upset with our team. But there is a team in the NFC East, down south, and things are not going so well this year, which, by the way, you could have seen from 100 miles away. Things got worse today, I think, for the Dallas Cowboys.
All right, well, that's a positive.
Jared, we are going to play some audio from you.
There we go.
That is honestly stunning. And if we didn't have the Eagles, I would have wanted to spend our entire 4 hours breaking down this audio of Jerry Jones. It is unforgettable. I can't wait to play it for you. That is next on the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, 3-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.